this morning, I want to invite you to go ahead and grab your Bible and open up to Matthew chapter 22. We're going to be right there. And as you're turning, I'll say earlier this week, I read an article. It was online. It was put out by Klein ISD. And here was the title of it: Community Members Impact Students' Lives. And as I read it, I thought, that's a great headline, right? I love that people are giving back. I love that the people are pouring into our students. And when I opened the article immediately got better, right? I saw the face of my good friend, Tom, right? Tom was highlighted as a mentor in this article as he invests in kids in neighboring schools, right? It's a beautiful thing. Love you, Tom. Way to go. And he's making an impact, right? He's mentoring students. It was encouraging to see. It was inspiring to see. And it was a reminder for me that as followers of Jesus, every one of us is called to make an impact. And as you read the article, there's some quotes from the student that he mentors. Listen to what he says. He says, "Mr. Tom and I, we have this special handshake that we do every time we see each other and then again when he leaves." He said, "Oh, I need to learn that, Tom." He says, "Mr. Main teaches me how to be a good person. He teaches me new things." Listen, thank God, Tom, for your investment in people. It's such an incredible encouragement. And as I read the article, here's what I know. I am confident of this. If Tom was gone from that school, he would immediately be missed. Right? If he was gone from that kid's life, he would immediately leave a hole there. Listen, that student, that school, our community is better because Tom is around. And as I think about that statement, better because he's around, I really hope and I pray that people are saying that about us as a church, right? I mean, isn't that what we want? I'm not talking about the building. We know that's not the church. The church is people, right? I'm talking about you, and I'm talking about me, and I'm talking about Tom. I'm talking about all of us, right, the people of the church. Well, with that in mind, my prayer is that our community, that our neighbors, that our friends are impacted in a positive way, that their lives are better because our church exists and lives spread out all across this community. Today, as we continue our series called Focus this morning, remember, we kicked it off a few weeks ago by just saying who we are as a church. It's on the screen. Remember this: Champion Forest advances the kingdom of God by making disciples, by loving our community, and by strengthening the church. And last week, we talked about that first focus statement, making disciples. We saw that Jesus' first words to anybody that would follow him and his last words to anybody that would follow him were to invest in other people. They were to make disciples. And we saw that discipleship is this process where believers intentionally, this does not happen by accident, we need to understand that, where believers intentionally pass on to others what they know, what they've experienced, and what they're learning so that the other people in their life can become more like Jesus as well, right? That's us. That's who Jesus has called us to be, right? That's how Jesus plans to get the good news of the gospel to other people, right? And today, we're talking about focus statement number two, loving our community. And as we begin to process this and discuss it this morning, some of you may think, this might sound a little bit familiar. And if it does, that's okay. We had a teaching series back in October called Bless, where we looked at what the Bible teaches about being a blessing to those around us. And I was a little bit worried as we were getting started this week, sort of studying, praying, and planning, and preparing for this morning, that this might be a little repetitive. And so I talked to Lewis, and with a heart of encouragement and a counselor, he looked at me to encourage me by saying, "It's okay, people don't really remember what you say anyway." Don't amen that. He might be right a little bit, okay? But here's the deal. Even with that in mind, here's what we know. We know God's called us to teach the word, right? God's called us to open it up, to see what he says, to live by it, and then to keep doing it. And we want to be as effective in that as possible. So I'm going to give you some tips so that next time we get to the same chapter and these same verses, one of you could hop up here and take my place and walk it out. Here it is. Remember, people remember about 10% of what they hear, okay? It's just how your brain is made up. 20% of what you read and 80% of what you see. It's just how we're wired. It's how God made most of us. Now, here's a helpful tip for worship, for life groups, for your daily Bible reading. You can increase your memory about the things that we're talking about by up to 70% or so if you write down what you see, if you write down what you hear, if you take notes in here and in life groups and everywhere else. But ultimately, the best way to remember something is by doing it. right? And that's always the plan when we go to the Word of God, right? We want to take the Word of God and we want to live it out. So our goal this morning is to take the Word of God, to see what He has to say about loving our neighbors, about loving our community, and then leave here, not with more information, right, but we want to leave here with a heart that beats to do the Word of God. And if we're doing it, right, if we're doing it right, if we're advancing the kingdom of God by loving our community, people are going to notice, right? There's going to be a constant, positive, good, godly impact in the world around us. And as we do it, let's make sure that our hearts and that our minds and that our actions are driven by the right motivation, and that is always love and obedience to Jesus. So Matthew 22, your Bibles are there. Look with me, starting in verse 34. It says, when the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked Jesus a question to test him. And he said, teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? Now, there's hundreds of commandments. There was always a debate about it, and they're trying to trap Jesus in something here. But listen to what Jesus says. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. They asked Jesus, what's number one? And he gave them number one, love God with everything that you've got. And then he gave them a bonus, right? They didn't ask for number for a second, but he gave them one. And don't miss how Jesus tied these together. He said, love God with everything you've got, and the second command is like it, like it, like loving God, and that's love your neighbor. Here's what Jesus says here. He's saying that wholehearted love for God means seeing people as God sees people, right? To make it as basic as possible, if you're a follower of Jesus, if you're a disciple of Jesus, you will be a person that loves other people, right? That's what Jesus said, right? That's the greatest commandment, and they're two right there together. So everything about who we are, everything about what we do, how we make decisions, the priorities that we set for ourselves at school, the priorities that we set for our families, all of that hinges on the words of Jesus right here. Now, in the past couple of weeks, that this has randomly come up in conversation with different people that I've met in the community, and I've been able to point them to this verse right here. And I've been able to say, listen, Chelsea and I, we take this passage, and while we do it far from perfectly, our heart is to use this passage here to shape our family. When things come up, when we have decisions to be made, when there are opportunities that arise, will we ask ourselves the question, does whatever we're considering here, does it help us to love God more? Whatever we're considering here, does it help us teach our kids to love God more? This opportunity that's in front of us, does it help us love our community, love our neighbor more? And if the answer is yes, then we're going to do everything that we can to make it a reality. Right? We're going to do everything we can to adjust the priorities of our lives to ensure that we're doing it out of obedience and reverence to God. But if the answer is no, then it's a really easy decision for us. We're able to look at the words of Jesus and know that whatever we're looking at here, it doesn't need to be on our calendar. We don't need to make room in our life for it. It doesn't need to show up on our bank statement. It doesn't need to be filling our minds and our hearts week in and week out. Jesus is really clear on that. Listen, we should be known, church family, right, as people of love. So the question is, are you? Right? When people talk about you, when they think about you, does love come to mind? It's pretty clear that Jesus tells us that should be the mark of a believer, right? A love for God and a love for others. And we don't just see it here in this one passage. It's all across the Bible, right? Here's a very small sample size. They're going to put a lot of verses on the screen, and you might not have time to write all of them down. Take a picture if you want to go back and look at this later. But in John 13, verse 35, Jesus says, this is how the world's going to know that you're one of my followers. It's by how you love one another. In Philippians 2, Jesus says, don't be selfish or look at your needs, but instead look at the needs of others. In fact, Paul writes, let each of you look not only to his own interests, but to the interests of others. In Matthew 7, Jesus says, whatever you wish others would do for you, man, do it for them. That's the golden rule, right? Do unto others as you would have them do to you. Romans 12, Paul writes, love one another with brotherly affection. Listen to this, outdo one another in showing honor. 1 Peter 4:8, above all, love one another earnestly, because love covers a multitude of sins. And then show hospitality without grumbling. Matthew 25, Jesus says, truly, as you did unto the least of these, you've done it for me. And the context there, Jesus says, hey, listen, when you see somebody that doesn't have food or clothing or shelter, when you see somebody in dire need, when you love them, when you serve them, when you help them, that you're actually loving, serving, and helping me. Listen, Jesus is incredibly focused on teaching us to love our neighbor, to love our community. And then we get to the words of Jesus here, Matthew 22:39, where Jesus says, the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. And that term neighbor can sort of mean different things to different people. That term neighbor, in our context, in our world today, it could be confused a little bit. It could be debated a little bit. So let's be very clear this morning. When Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself, he is talking about a much wider audience than the person that lives next door to you. Neighbor, in this context, in the words of Jesus here, was meant to be extended as broadly as you could possibly extend the word, right? The call here is to love people. The call here is to love our community. So let's think for a minute about who it is we're called to love. What does this mean for us? What is Jesus trying to tell us? Right, as Jesus said that, he was actually asked that question. Well, who does neighbor include? If you've still got your Bible open, you can look in Luke chapter 10, where we get his comments there. He had just said, love your neighbor as yourself, and the response from the crowd was, who's my neighbor? Now, their goal in asking that question wasn't to understand. Their goal wasn't to get clarity about who to love. Their goal was to trick Jesus, right? They were trying to ask a difficult question to trap him or to trip him up. And you might have someone in your life like that, that they ask you questions and they're not really worried about the answer. They're just trying to be difficult, a difficult person in your life. Don't look at them if they're in the room now. I was at Fox Elementary, our neighbor school behind us earlier this week. I got to be a guest reader for World Read Aloud Day. And teachers, you guys are my heroes. Way to go. But I was in there and I was reading a book to a classroom of first graders. And there was this one kid right in the middle that very loudly the whole time is asking these questions. And I started looking at this kid and I'm thinking, this kid doesn't care about the answer to any of these questions. This kid's just trying to be difficult. And Chelsea is looking at me right now like I deserve that, because sometimes I think I ask those same kind of questions just to be difficult, right? That's what's going on here, right, with this guy. That's why they asked the question. But it doesn't matter why they asked the question. Jesus gives the answer. And as he gives the answer, he gives me and you a good picture of who and how we are called to love. Luke 10, verse 29, they said, who's my neighbor? And starting in verse 30, Jesus tells them a story. You might be familiar with it. He says, a man was going down the road from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers. And they stripped him, and they beat him, and they left him half dead by the side of the road. And now by chance, a priest was going down the road, and when he saw the man in need, he passed by on the other side. And then a Levite was coming down the road, and he saw the man in need. This guy's in trouble. The Levite passed by on the other side of the road. But then a Samaritan came down the road as he journeyed. He came to where the man in need was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him. He treated the wounds, he poured oil and wine on them, he set the man on his own animal, and then he brought him to an inn, and he took care of him. And then the next day, he took out his own money, he paid the innkeeper and said, take care of him, whatever it costs. And if I don't have enough, if I haven't given you enough, when I get back, I'll repay you everything that you spent. And so then Jesus looks at the crowd that was trying to discern who's my neighbor. He looks at them and he says, who do you think proved to be a neighbor to the one that fell among the robbers? And the answer was obvious. They said, well, it's the one that showed mercy. And so Jesus said, go and do it. Jesus said, go and be someone that shows mercy. He radically, in this story, in their lives, in their context, and I pray in ours too, he radically redefines here what it means to be a neighbor. Right, in this example, Jesus defines a neighbor as whoever you meet that's in need. And his story, his example, if you don't know the context of it, it crossed racial lines, ethnic lines, religious lines, socioeconomic lines, well, whatever boundaries you think might exist between people, man, Jesus shattered them right here in the context of explaining who our neighbors are. So in our context, as we think about who is our neighbor, who is our community, a very easy, simple way to put it is this, guys, it's the people in our path. Right, the people that our lives intersect with, those are the people that God has called us to love. Two church people in this example, two religious people, the priest and the Levite, they had an opportunity to love their neighbor. They knew that the Old Testament in Leviticus 19 called them to love their neighbor, but they didn't do it. They ignored the need. They ignored their neighbor. And in doing that, they gave us a pretty good glimpse, a pretty good picture of their heart. Right, we know that if we truly love God, then we're going to love our community. That's how Jesus wraps up the story. He says, go and do it. You've seen it. Now go and live it out. If you come across a person in your path, what God is calling you to do is to meet that need. Here's a great phrase, right? A great phrase. Live this out. Let this beat in your mind and in your heart. Let your kids see this as you live this out. It'll make an impact on them. Here's the phrase. See a need, meet a need. Right? When you see a need, be willing to jump out and meet that need. Think about it. That's what Jesus did for us, isn't it? Right? Jesus models this perfectly for us. Jesus stepped out of heaven. Jesus lived a perfect, sinless life. Jesus died in our place. Why? To meet our need for a Savior, to meet our need for forgiveness, so that those that trust in Him have the hope and the promise of heaven and eternal life. Well, we can't forget all of this, this loving of our neighbor, it starts with Jesus. 1 John 4:19 says this, we love, why? Because Jesus first loved us. All of this, all that we do, all of this love, His call on our lives, right, is because of the love of Jesus. And believers have been living this out throughout history. There's example after example after example that we could give this morning. But the point of all those examples is simply this. Throughout history, if believers hadn't stepped up, they would have been missed, right? There'd be a noticeable difference in the world, a noticeable difference in our community. And so back to that driving question. If the Champion Forest family, if we just suddenly didn't exist anymore, think about where you live, think about where you work, think about the school that you go to. If you were just gone, if we were gone from this community, would the community notice? And I believe that they would, or I pray that they would. Let's live this out. Let's love our community. As Jesus said, let's love the people in our path. And I don't need to go into a bunch of details to explain who those people are in your life. Just think about it. Where do you live? Where do you work? Where do you go to school? Where do you play? Where does God have you every single day? That's your community, right? Those are the people that God places in your path. Ensure that your love for people makes an impact there. So Jesus has answered for us. Who do we love? But now think about this. How do we love our community? And I'm asking the question because Jesus is very specific here. I think that we miss this sometime. In Matthew 22, 39, Jesus says, you shall love your neighbor. We just talked about who that was. But then he says, how? Love your neighbor as yourself. And I'm not sure we grasp how big of a deal that is. That little word, as, it changes the entire sentence here. Jesus doesn't just say, seek for your neighbor what you seek for yourself. Jesus tells us to seek for our neighbor what we seek for ourselves in the same way we seek it for ourselves. Right? We're to love our community the way that we love ourselves. We're to love the people on our path the way that we love ourselves, with the same passion, with the same energy, with the same determination, with the same creativity. John Piper says it like this. How do you pursue your own well-being? Pursue your neighbor's well-being that way too. I know what you're thinking. How? How in the world could I do that? I don't have the resources. You might be thinking, I don't have the time. You might be thinking, I don't have the emotional energy, the emotional capacity to love people that way. And if you're thinking that, then that's probably true. But Jesus does. Remember, this command to love your neighbor as yourself, it's after the command to love and to go after God Himself. And so as we seek to love our neighbor, we have to be reminded that it's Christ in you that helps you love your neighbor. It's Christ in you that allows us to love our community as we love ourselves. We can't skip the first step, right? There is no way our person-to-person relationships will ever be right if our relationship with God is not right. There is no way that we can love the people where we live and work and play the way that we love ourselves unless our relationship with God the Father is right first. It's His love that enables us to love the community the way that we love ourselves. Love the community, the people on our path. Love them the way that we love ourselves. And the next question, it is obvious. What do we do? All right, what do we do? How do we do that? Here's 3 points for home, 3 action steps that you can put into your life right now to live out the command of Jesus. And the first as this. Pray for your community. Or if you want to love your community the way that God's called you to, pray for it. If you see a need, meet that need through prayer. And I've got to say this, that prayer is not just a step that we take to get to the action. Prayer itself is an action. Right? Last week, Jesus was very clear with us in Matthew 28, where we looked at it and we saw that we cannot do anything, including love well, on our own, right? Don't skip prayer. Every move of God throughout history has a solid foundation of prayer. Pray for your community. Build it into your rhythm. When you pass a school, pray for the school. Pray for the kids. Pray for the teachers. Pray for the families that are there. When you see a first responder, pray for them and their health and their safety. Pray for the health and the safety of the community. When you pass a church, any church, pray that the kingdom of God would be advanced through the people that make up that church family. When you drive by someone's home and you know them and you know that they don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, pray for them, right? Meet the needs through prayers. You're scrolling online through social media, you see people going through a hard time, or you see a friend that doesn't know Christ. Begin with prayer. Meet the need in their lives. Meet the needs in our community by being a person of prayer. If you want to love well, if you want to love your community well, you got to pray for it. And then second, if you want to love your community well, you got to be a person that meets needs, right? See a need, meet a need. And I made this personal here. Meet a need with your resources. That's what Jesus said, right? Love your neighbor as yourself. And every one of us, we work hard to ensure that our personal needs are met. We just do. And if we love our community the way that Jesus has called us to, we're going to work hard to make sure the needs of other people are met too. James chapter 2, verse 14 says this, "What good is it, my brothers, if someone says they have faith, but they don't have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and they lack in daily food, and you say to them, 'Go in peace, be warm, and be filled,' but you don't give them the things that they need for their body, what good is that? So also, faith, if it does not have works, is dead." Understand this morning that faith means action. Right? Followers of Jesus are people of action. Loving our community means that we will be people of action. And there's no way I could list every need that we're going to encounter this morning. And if we're looking for those needs, if our eyes are open, I won't need to. But here's just some examples of things that we've seen that have happened in the past couple of weeks. We have a friend who lost her dad 2 weeks ago. Real needs present in their life, right? That they need prayer, they need encouragement, they need presence, they need people helping with their kids, they need people helping with meals. Those are real needs that God's equipped us to meet, right? Real needs in the community. You might have a friend or a neighbor that's lost their job recently. And if that's the case, there's real needs in their family's life. Students, you guys are coming off an amazing weekend, right? You're going to jump back into your community, back into school tomorrow. I promise you, this week, you are going to see someone alone at school. They've got a real need. They need a friend. And you're going to notice somebody in your class that's struggling. They've got a real need to jump in and be that friend, right? Meet that need. Moms and dads, you might know somebody in your neighborhood or somebody that you work with and their marriage is in trouble. They're struggling, and they need help. If you see that need, if you're aware of that need in their life, meet that need. Man, jump in and pray with them. Pray for them. Sit with them. Do whatever you can to encourage them and get them to a counselor or something. Meet the need in their life. Listen, loving our neighbor, loving our community, love means action. It means meeting needs, right? What about the schools around us? Tom showed us earlier, they need mentors like me and you to be in the school, loving on those kids and loving on those families. What about people financially struggling? Listen, job ministries, we have ministries here started by people in our church that serve the homeless in our area every single day. We pass out groceries to people in need and share the gospel with them as we do every single day. I got an email earlier this week. You know, one of the needs in our community is encouragement and support for those in hospitals, right? One of our church members, Debbie Benningfield, she runs a ministry called Angel Paws Ministry, and God is using that to meet a need in our community. She's able to go in and sit and meet with people that are critically ill, that might not have much time left. And man, and as God opens those doors, what happens? and they're able to share the gospel. And just recently, Debbie was able to lead one of her friends that she met through this ministry, Mallory, to a saving relationship with Jesus. And not too long after that, I mean, Mallory stepped into the presence of Jesus. So many needs in our community. So many needs. Let's be people of action. Let's meet needs. And let me bring this a little bit closer to home for some of us. What about your life group class? What about the community that God has given you right there? Sometimes we hear prayer requests. We're equipped in that moment to pray for them. But sometimes we hear prayer requests and we're uniquely positioned with the resources to meet the needs that we hear about of our brothers and sisters in Christ, of our church family. Let's meet needs. Remember Harry? Harry was baptized just a few weeks ago. Here's a quick recap of his story. Right, Harry is a literal neighbor to our church property here. And when we share a fence, the fence was falling down. So he knocked on the door and he said, "Could you help with my fence?" He actually talked to Louis Miori. And Louis Miori did this. He loved his neighbor as himself. Louis thinks to himself, "Well, it was my fence that was down. I would want somebody to help me with my fence." And so he did for Harry what Harry would hopefully do for him. And it was in the context of that a friendship was struck, right? And these guys began to hang out and they spend time together. And in the context of that friendship, Louis was able to share that Jesus himself had met the most critical need in Louis's life. And because of that, Harry trusted Jesus as Lord and Savior as well. And here's the lesson in that. As we meet the needs of people in our community, as we love our community well, it opens the door for us to meet spiritual needs. And if we're truly loving our community, that's what we're going to do. We're going to meet spiritual needs. As we see spiritual needs, we've got to know that we've been equipped and called by God to meet those needs. It takes us back to last week, our focus of making disciples in Matthew 28. What are we called to do? We're called to go into all the earth, making disciples, baptizing them in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that God has commanded us. And He's with us always, even to the end of the age. As we see spiritual needs, we are called to meet those spiritual needs. We're not called to be so internally focused we don't think about anyone else. We're not called to just think about our lives or our schedule or our busyness. We're called to go out in the community with the good news of Christ to lead people into a saving relationship with Him. We've got to understand that there is no greater love that we could show our community. There is no greater love that you could show your friends, your coworkers, your neighbors, your classmates, your teammates. There is no greater love than introducing someone to a saving relationship with Jesus. And here's what you should know. I think it'll build some confidence and some encouragement in you. Here's what you should know about the community that you live in. 87% of the people that live around here, they believe that God exists. It's a great starting point for us as we begin to talk to others about God. And 25 to 35% of our community, of our neighbors, depending on age, 25 to 30% of people that don't know Christ as Savior, they are curious about what Jesus would do in their lives. They are curious about what their life would look like if they trusted in Jesus as Savior. They're already thinking about it. And if you've trusted in Jesus as Savior, you already know that He will change everything infinitely for the better. So, let's stay focused here. Let's stay focused on making disciples. Let's stay focused on loving our community and loving them well by pointing them to Jesus. Would you pray with me this morning? As you bow your head and close your eyes this morning, I just want to lead you through a few points of prayer. And the first is very simple. I just want to encourage you to pray and ask God for a sensitive heart and sensitive eyes. Maybe say it like this: God, help me to see the needs around me. God, help me to see needs in my family. Help me to see needs in my neighborhood, in my workplace. Help me to see needs among my friends. Help me to see needs out here in our community. God, help me to see and be sensitive. God, help me to see the way that you see. And then follow that up and just ask Him. Say, God, help me to not only see the need, God, help me to meet the need. Help me to love well, to love our community by meeting the needs that you show me. And as you pray about loving our community, you might be realizing this morning that, to truly love others well, to truly love others the way that we were called to truly love others the way that God has commanded us to, and that comes from a love relationship with God Himself. We can't do that on our own. We can't do that apart from our Heavenly Father. So this morning, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus as Savior, if you've never trusted in Him and stepped into a love relationship with Him, I want to encourage you this morning to trust in Jesus as Savior, to surrender your heart to Him, surrender your life to Him. Romans chapter 10 says if you believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and you confess with your mouth that God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. And so this morning, if you've never trusted in Jesus as Savior, and you saw those students this morning, that was their testimony. They trusted in Him. I want to encourage you and pray to do that as well. Maybe your need this morning is community. Maybe it's a church family. We'd love to be a part of that as well. Heavenly Father, we love You, God, so, so much. God, we're thankful for Your love for us. We're thankful for all that You've done. We're thankful for all that You are. And God, we know that all of this is possible. God, it's possible for us to love. It's possible for us to love well. It's possible for us to love our community, God, because You loved us first. And God, I pray that that love, Your love in our life, God, will be reflected out into the world around us. It's in Your name we pray. And everybody said, amen.
Thank you for joining us online. We hope today's experience encouraged and challenged you. At Champion Forest, we are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God, to grow in their relationship with Him and others, and then to go out and make a difference in the world. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. And hey, of course, we can't wait to welcome you on campus, in person, on one of our locations. We'll see you soon.